Hello, this is Janet Gallen welcoming you to Love Letters Live. Today's guest is Michael Hansel, who is not just a photographer, but an exceptional photographer. And I'm going to go to you pretty quickly, but that is your profession, right?
Yes. I've kind of been switching. I've worked as in the closed captioning industry for years.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Handling networks and studios and things
okay.
like
then,
that.
Then so let's start from the beginning and work up to where you are now, because I didn't know that about you.
Yes, I'm a puzzle.
Okay, good. At one that you're going to solve for us, right?
You bet.
Best you can. Now, we met at a workshop, and I was so touched by something you said at the end, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but it expressed your desire at the relief of being able to talk about real things. And I think you used that phrase about talking about real things. In other words, no small talk in life.
Yes, but I would also say small talk can be the most important part of life.
Oh, okay. Well, then let's talk about both.
Because it's the immediacy and connection that you have with that other person. So you might talk to somebody like, guys, we talk about weather or how we drive to get to, how did you drive? Oh, you took that route? Oh, I would have taken the 105 to the 5 and then cross over. But there's an ongoing connection.
Right. So small talk as the threads that bind us originally.
Right.
But you don't want a whole life of that.
No. No. No, that's why I like talking with women a lot more than men.
Oh, I think that might have been something like, you said something like that. Okay.
Because just to tell a story, this last weekend, I was at a reading of the Vagina Monologues.
Uh-huh.
So I was taking pictures there, and I wasn't out during the performance, but I was backstage and in the green room taking pictures, and the wonderful conversations these women had, and I was just a fly on the wall, adding my jokes every once in a while. But that always interests me so much.
Because women get to things more quickly?
Yes. And their priorities, at least in this sense, because, there's a certain type of person that would do vagina monologues.
Yes.
They're connected, but yet they're all different. And I like seeing that. And just trying to capture that through photography or through my other thing, which is directing.
All right, so you're talking about two different things, and I didn't think of capturing that as in your photography. Of course, you want to capture a whole soul and a lot more than just the graphic of a face.
Right. Well, the eyes are the windows to the soul, and,
And the mouth doesn't fall far behind, though.
But I think we get lost in words as opposed to the meaning of the words.
Oh, yes.
Which, I've learned over the years.
To look beyond what people are saying into what goes...
Well, to understand, what they're saying behind that. Because nowadays there's a lot of things that are politically correct or incorrect and things like that. And I'm around, the disabled communities, because there's multiple of those, and some people have certain viewpoints, and I don't discredit any of those viewpoints. You just let me know
what makes you comfortable to say,
Yes.
So let's talk about that for a sec, because I think politically correct is important, because you can't legislate how people feel, but you can legislate what they are allowed to say or
right.
do, and sometimes that leads to a more pure kind of a feeling, an awareness that's nice. But how does that strike you in general? People struggle not to say the wrong thing.
Well, I remember one time I did an audition, and it was for acting, and there was a group full of disabled people and or persons with disability. You pick the genre. And one of the casting people said, disabled, and this woman said, no, I'm not disabled, I'm handicapable.
Oh, yes. Okay, that's kind of what I wanted to get to. But
I see it as a terminology that I think loses the really soul of the person. It's like...
to have to label a person at all.
No, you should.
Oh, you should,
But I've had people say, well, you know, what is, you know, they try to describe me.
Mm-hmm.
What does Mike look like? And, oh, he's really funny. He's really got a great smile and eyes. And I go, well, no, Mike's, you know, short in a wheelchair. That's the first thing you notice. Not that it's bad or good, but these, you know, don't try to deny,
yes.
You know, or I think it's bad. No, you know. He could lose a few pounds, but that's not.
Yeah.
That's what I look like in general.
Uh-huh.
And when people try to, like, gloss over that or think it's bad to say, oh, I don't want to say.
He's
in a wheelchair.
Right.
I go, no, I'm using a wheelchair. I'm not. You know.
Yeah.
I'm not.
And there's a difference between what does he look like and who is he?
Right.
Of course, because that's a feature.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, you wouldn't describe who I am using a wheelchair.
Right.
Unless I was a racer or did some, you know, stunts and some of those guys are crazy.
Yes.
But then you would say, yeah, he's a great wheelchair racer or stunt guy.
Right, exactly, when it's relevant. So talk about, you talked about where you were born and that you didn't leave till after college. So where were you raised again?
I was raised in Spokane, Washington.
And growing up was difficult, was nice, was what?
I can't compare it to other past lives. I think this is the one I was dealt. But all I can say is I spent a lot of time in the hospital.
Oh, you did? I mean,
Shriners Hospital.
Why?
I was born with osteogenesis imperfecta, which means brittle bones.
Uh-huh.
And so my bones would bow, and so they would add rods. So I, and my legs, tibia, femurs, and tibia. So I have four rods, and so.
Oh, so that's with you all your life?
Yeah. So you would grow, and then they would bow, and then they would have to have surgeries to repair them.
From the time you were a little boy?
Yes.
So that was painful?
Yes.
Oh.
So,
yeah.
And at the time, Shriners and a lot of hospitals have this belief that you should stay in the hospital and not go home during the recovery. I spent probably about half my growing up in the hospital directly.
And your parents and family would spend time with you there?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But at that time, they had like 1 hour a day to visit.
Yes.
I couldn't imagine how hard it was on my mom.
Oh, it must have been horrible.
Yeah. And my sister, I know she had it hard because she spoiled me when I was little.
Oh, good. That's nice. Yeah.
She did all the talking for me when I was born.
Because she knew what you were feeling, and that's kind of a big sister thing to do?
I mean, it had just because that's the kind of person she is.
Oh, okay.
So
you're smiling, so I can see.
Yeah,
that
and
nice.
Until I went in the hospital, they wondered if I could speak, and then once I went when I was two, then
oh, so you didn't have to bother.
Yeah, because she would do all the translating for me.
I did that with my brother also. Actually, that's why I relate to that.
But so that connection was always there with my sister.
And you said you left after college,
right?
So tell me about college and school and what you were propelled to study and what you wanted to do, and because I know you've done a variety of things here. You said
yes, I've studied well in college. I got scholarships for music.
Oh.
I'm a drummer, percussionist.
I did not know that.
So
from the time you were quite young?
Well, I guess, yeah. I've always loved drums, but yes. So that was a way in, and so I did that in high school.
So you were a drummer with a band? With the band, is that?
Yes, and then orchestra and other things, you know, playing the timpani and things.
Oh, so you with an orchestra means classical music then, too.
Right,
so you,
classical jazz.
Uh-huh.
I like playing in, like, dance bands, you know, or musical theater. I like playing drums for that.
The only reason I'm asking is because if you're in an orchestra and you need to be able to read music.
Right.
So this means you really did have to have a very specific and good education.
Right, I can read music. So, yes.
And you left after college. So you got a degree in this?
No.
No.
I took a class in television production.
Uh-huh.
And I've always loved movies. And I just really fell into that. Then I started directing a lot of college productions
on campus.
So,
wonderful.
And TV, and so that was my next focus.
And what did you do then after you left college?
After I left college, I moved down to Los Angeles.
By yourself? Like your
own... I came down with a buddy, but, you know, we kind of lost track after 6 months.
Oh. But, so was that awful for your parents to see you leave? Or
yes, I would imagine.
Sure. Yeah. But you needed to stake out your own...
Well, yeah, I needed to come down here.
Because if you're television, there's more just more opportunities down here for work.
Yes.
What was your first job?
Well, I did some script reading and, analyzing.
I have a question for people listening, because I think the specifics in every part of life are so important. How do you go about getting a job when you just come down here and you don't know anybody and you're good at things? What do you do?
Well, you hope there's a connection, and I had a connection to a producer.
Uh-huh. So good luck and a personal introduction.
Right. And nowadays, it's so much easier.
Is it?
Yes, because, first of all, you don't necessarily have to leave your hometown. You just go make a movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you put it on YouTube.
Yes, okay.
You just start making connections and the equipment and everything. I was back in the days of film.
Yes.
And I even directed a feature film.
What was that?
It was called The F Zone. It was like a political thriller comedy.
Is that something we can get on Netflix?
No.
Okay.
But yeah. So.
Can you? I mean, are there ways we can see it on the internet or scraps of it at least? Or maybe
there's clips. I'm going to post some clips. I think.
Good. Okay. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, it was a while back. It was done, like I said, on film. Which,
yeah.
That's pretty much gone now, film.
I wasn't realizing that. So when people make regular full-length feature movies and film is gone, what do they use?
Well, a lot of it's digital.
Oh, sure. Okay.
You know.
I'm so old.
You know, so.
I'm so yesterday. Okay. I wasn't aware of that.
So it's like you recording this now. It's digital.
Right.
So
yes.
You can go back and maybe fix something, you know, digitally if you need to.
Mm-hmm.
But, when I was doing music and audio, you know, you would have the quarter-inch tape and having to splice it. I don't know if you splice tape.
Well, I never did, but I was certainly around. I know that was the way things were done. And you went from... Okay, so your first job was...
Was script reading.
Okay, and then how did you get to your audio work from there? Once you're in it, you see an opportunity and you offer yourself, is that...
Well, at that point... I had 2 degrees in college. I had audio and television production. So I could always, I learned how to do things as opposed to the theory of things.
Mm-hmm.
So when I came
down. So you're valuable.
So, I thought that would be the best way is to have that instant value because things, you know, in general are pretty tough.
Yes.
If you have a disability. But if you can make your boss or your company money, they'll look past it.
Oh, so that makes me want to ask the question. What I was curious about as you were talking, when you were talking about how people, I forget what we said, but how to describe you.
Right.
What is it you want people to know about you? What is it you'd like people to see first off when they look at you?
Good question. I don't know if I can think of one thing.
I mean, I remember when we first met, we had become Facebook friends for somehow. And so by the time I met you, I felt like we were already friends. But I saw right away smart and loving. I mean, those are very two clear things about you.
Well, thank you.
What do you want people to see? Like what's important to you in your heart and soul that you want people to see?
I think... Open.
Mm-hmm.
I think fun.
Yes. Nice.
Because oftentimes I don't want to say take things too seriously, but we dwell on certain negatives.
All people do that.
Yes. Uh-huh. And things like that. And,
yeah.
And I don't deny negative. That's fine. But let's deal with it and move on.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. Negative is a part of life, not the whole thing.
Right.
Although I must say, does it ever feel to you, because this is something that women talk about, you know, when there's a breakup or a physical something or menstrual cramps or whatever it is, any moment of misery has the potential to feel like the whole universe and forever.
Right. Yes. But that's what I'm talking about, dealing with it in the here and now, saying, you know, this is the worst thing ever. You know, I'm never going to get over this guy. He was a girl. She was the love of my life. And really commit to that and saying it. And it's what I call having a pity party.
Yes.
Have you ever
had those?
Yes,
yourself?
And I've had for other people too. Mm-hmm. Because I says, okay, we'll just get a group of us together and we'll just be as miserable as we can possibly be. And at the end of it, you just automatically started laughing.
Right.
Because at a certain point, you know, unless it's truly a true misery, most of these are not at that level.
Right.
You know, we're not talking somebody's death or something like that.
God forbids.
We're talking about, you know, some guy or gal or whatever.
Yeah.
Or your car got stolen or something like that. Well, I think there's a certain part of people that want to feel like things are safe and theirs and nobody else can get at them.
Sure.
It's like with the internet and things like that. People think they're safe. I go, no, it's
hackable.
You know, it's a tool. It's a tool. That's all it is. It's not, you know, safe or unsafe. Yeah. It just is what it is.
Well, how long did you do the audio work?
Well, I just dabbled in that a little bit. Then I started taking acting at Stella Adler's.
Ah.
And because I found my directing, visually I was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Editing, I was good. But working with actors, I was horrible.
What makes you horrible working with actors?
Because I didn't know their language.
Which is?
Acting. I mean, just the whole language of the performance, how they prepare and getting into character, analyzing scripts. It's really important, and I found that you understand what goes into the story and the acting, how to help the actor out.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you. Did you do that because you wanted to do acting yourself, or from where you sat, you wanted to know who they were?
A little of both.
Have you done acting and roles and things?
Yeah, I've done a few plays and things like
that. You like
that. It's fun. I like improv more than I like the doing plays. But, I like to be in control. That's why I like directing, too.
Well, and also improv is you get to be you.
Well, I get to be whoever I want to be.
Yes.
And I'm not analyzing. I don't.
But you're not doing somebody else's. You're not doing the words somebody else has voiced upon you.
Well, yeah, that's true. But I look at it more like I'm not sitting in the audience analyzing, like I could have done that line better, this line better.
Yeah.
That's was the real thing with me is I break it down, but then I don't totally turn over to the character.
How did you ease your way from that into your full-time photography now? That's your main? I've seen your work. It's gorgeous.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of my business, you know, right now. And
what made you transfer?
Well, because directing I enjoy, but you need the whole crew and, you know, and everything like that. Photography has always been a part of me because I like to visualize. So I'm always setting up shots in my head.
Well, so there's a directorial part of that, of course.
Because
even if it's one person or one face?
Yes. But I like groups. I like to capture moments where there's like eight people and some are looking one way. Like there's three of them having a conversation, another looking off. And then there's a story. It's a tableau that you're creating and now it's up to the viewer to see that.
So when you're creating that tableau, it's up to you to know when to click that camera to get that particular...
Right.
Uh-huh.
And also, you do take a lot of pictures, and that's another key.
And yeah. And that's easier to do now, snap, 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 snap than it used to be because of the digital.
Because of film. But I find that a lot of people, when they take pictures, they don't either take enough or they're just too shy to do it.
I think of those pictures, of like 100 years ago.
Right.
And they're grim. When you look at old pictures, it's some couple or some family, and if you could force a smile out of anyone in that whole group, nobody ever did. What was the style difference? I don't know if you ever thought about that, but it was like one shot took a lot of preparation, and you just got one.
Well, oftentimes you had to hold for the shot.
Uh-huh.
Hold the position. So.
Yes.
And it was maybe the only picture that your family's ever going to have. So it was very serious.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't like we're going to have 100,000 pictures.
Well, and it didn't look like much fun, judging from looking back.
No, but it meant a lot to the people.
Yes, to have some trail, some record of who they were to leave behind. But that's a whole different business now.
So because that would be the picture, and so that's how you would remember people.
Uh-huh. Yes. I have one other question. Well, I have a whole bunch of other questions. But I want to ask you. You have a Facebook presence. If people want to see your work.
They can go to...
can they be your friend?
That's great. Or my website should be up by the time this comes out.
Oh, good.
MichaelHansel.com.
Okay. Because I don't know. Okay.
So.
All right.
Just myname.com.
Perfect.
And I'm searchable.
I want to ask you something because I do love love letters and the written expression of affection.
Mm-hmm.
I think lasts as long as what you do. It's another kind of record of how you feel and what you see. You write letters?
No. Not like I should. I have been starting to do what I call postcards.
Oh, that's nice. But when you say not like you should, what is propelling you to say that? Because there are people you would like to write to.
Well, I think we get in this fast-paced life, and we lose track of doing simple things.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, if you were to write to somebody right now, I had a different question, actually. When you look at, and I find this, when you give somebody a photograph to look at, we did that night, and it was taken like maybe in the 40s or the late 30s or the very early 50s, the first thing everybody does is flop it over. They look on the back.
Right.
And I think they're looking for handwriting. They're looking for the heartbeat in addition to the... I'm thinking that photographs, which you couldn't do on Polaroids because they were black slick on the back, but photographs, that's a perfect piece of stationery to write a love note to somebody.
Yes.
Double duty.
Yeah. Well, you sometimes you need to describe what the picture is about. And that will give it a lot more meaning.
Doesn't it? Over years. And the date. Dates are important.
Yes. And we lose track of those things. The simple little I love you notes.
Yes.
Who
would you write a letter to right now in your life if you were to write a love letter? Anything from a simple love note to a long telling of a memory that you cherished and something, someone who made a difference in your life.
I would probably say my mom.
Mm-hmm. And they're still living in Washington?
Yeah. My mom and dad and sister are up there.
Have you ever written to them?
Just short notes.
Well, nothing, that's nice.
But yeah.
You're smiling. I could see
pictures,
a smile coming.
Pictures mostly, but yes.
Well, that's valuable though.
Mm-hmm.
Especially from you because that's how you express yourself. That's how you capture time. What about writing a love letter to them? Like with real specifics about what you love about them now, what you loved about them growing up. And I think for mothers, everybody likes to feel attractive.
Yes.
Like memories of how she looked in that blue dress or the thing that she cooked that you just love the best or specifics that acknowledge what she gave tangibly.
Right.
What would you list in those things?
Well, I think one would be she came to the hospital every day,
mm-hmm.
and she would bring like a toy or a little animal, you know, those little 1-inch by 1-inch,
yeah.
you know, or something, just a little
yeah.
toy. And so that always gave me a grounding.
Oh, good.
It's the thoughtfulness, not the toy itself.
Yeah.
And so things like that, you know, making me macaroni and cheese, because I love that.
What did she look like?
Boy, that's hard. She looked like Mom.
Well, that's a nice thing to say, actually.
Yeah.
Did she have favorite colors?
No. She wasn't. She would rather buy everybody else nice clothes as opposed to
okay,
her.
So there's something to say in a love letter. Yeah. Although, you know, all those things that you think about lead to something.
Right.
And I will tell you, I know this from experience, that those letters that older parents receive, those are the ones you find on their bedside tables or in their jacket pockets or in their purses after they're gone.
Right.
Because they have kept them close by. And they probably read them and reread them. You know why? Because for parents in particular, it's an acknowledgement. They like to know that they did something right.
That's true. My grandma, I think I told this story when you did the workshop, but my grandma, when she passed away, we were going through her stuff, and she had in her drawer right next to me was a postcard, and the picture was of the Shriners Hospital, and on the back was a note I wrote to her,
yes.
you know, and I just said, you know, I'm doing fine, you know.
And that's
love
what and that's what parents and grandparents want to know.
Right.
That you're doing fine and that they can leave this world without worrying about you.
Right. So she obviously kept that around.
Yes. No surprise.
So, okay. Yeah.
Oh, I hope you do more of them.
Okay.
Yes. I love it when people do that because I know what it brings to people and I know how much you have to say. I know that you have a lot to say and a lot of, kind of a lot of success to report and a lot of ways of making other people feel valuable and attractive. And by the way, isn't that what your photography does?
Yeah.
You capture the best in a person.
I try to, and I try to capture moments. I don't like posed pictures as much as real moments. So,
yes.
So right now would be a great picture of you because you're listening to me and that's a moment.
Uh-huh.
And why not capture it as opposed to us stopping looking at the camera?
Oh, say cheese, never mind.
And say cheese because that's a snapshot. But this is a conversation. So you would have a picture of the two of us talking and you would immediately go back to a conversation we had.
Yes. Yes.
You know?
And it's a record of a friendship or something
right.
more than
right.
a... Yes. There's well, to me, one of the most irritating things is when people do take what you're calling a snapshot,
mm-hmm.
and oh gosh, they tell you to smile and they count very slowly to three,
mm-hmm.
which I don't understand because by the time they get to 2.5, you're already your cheeks twitching from holding a position.
That came from having to hold the face
yes.
until because they'd open the lens,
right? And I'm
and
I
then close it. They'd have to count that.
And I realized that still. When you said that those expressions were, it took a while
mm-hmm.
to, you know, you had to leave that exposure open. Uh-huh. And those days are gone. Oh, thank you for doing this with me.
Oh, thank you for asking.
I learned a lot.
Well,
I always like
you.
A day where I learned something. Thank you, dear.
And well, thank you.
Well, please remember that in case you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, that every day is filled with those special moments and occasions. And just like you said, capturing a photograph where you capture a moment that people can look at again and again and remember a conversation, all these things. The same with a letter. They can reread it and capture that moment. It's a different way of saying the same thing, I think.
Right.
Thank you, dear. I appreciate that a lot. Well, until next time, this is Janet Gallen saying goodbye and you. Michael Hansel.
What? Oh, I'm saying goodbye. I'm supposed to say goodbye. I don't catchphrase or something. I was. You don't, see you soon.
Yes, you don't have to, but if you
goodbye,
like
it. No. See you again soon.
Lovely. I like that. Okay. Thank you.